Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you. And we praise you for all the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning and clothing us in our right mind as we have started out this day. Thank you, Lord, for raising up this church to be a lighthouse in the midst of a dark world. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And besides you, there is no other. So give me preaching grace this morning so that the lost can be saved, the saved can be encouraged, backsliders can come back to you. Those in need of a church home can find a church home right here at Bible Way. So give your people even hearing grace, and then give us all doing grace, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. Come on and put your hands together and praise the Lord this morning. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Is he worthy in your life? He's worthy. Is God a good God? How many of you know that God is a good God? You didn't hear me. I didn't say God was a good God. I didn't say that God will be. I said that God is. He's a good God right now. Amen. How many of you know he's a right now kind of God? Amen. I can tell you already this morning, so y'all ready? So let me go on and deliver. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verses 31 through 44. Mark chapter 6. Verses 31 through 44. When you find it, say, I got it. Amen. If you see your neighbor still trying to find it, help them, y'all. Help them. Amen. We help one another here at Bible Way. Amen. Mark chapter 6. Beginning with verse number 31, you'll find these words. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I want to talk with you this morning on the subject, a chance to show compassion. A chance to show compassion. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, going to talk about a chance to show compassion. A chance to show compassion. I want to continue our teaching out of this book of Mark. We have been studying discipleship training. Jesus has been training his disciples in ministry. And we come now to one of the most familiar passages of all the scripture. It is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This miracle is the only miracle that is recorded by all 4 gospel writers other than the miracle of the resurrection. In other words, this miracle here ranks right up there with the miracle of the resurrection. And I believe that one of the reasons, it's because it deals with the basic human need of man. It is the need for food. I don't care who you are, you need some food. I don't care how grown you are, you need some food. I don't care how rich you are, you still need some food. I don't care how successful you are, you need some food. I don't care what school you done graduated from, you keep living a while, your stomach gonna start growling. You're gonna need some food. This is the basic need of man. The background to our lesson took place around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had sent his disciples, you can recall, on their first missionary journey. You can recall how Jesus, over in verse number 8 of the text, had commanded his disciples to go on this missionary journey and take nothing with them. They was not supposed to take no purse. They was not supposed to take no money. They was not supposed to take an extra coat or anything like that, because they was to live by faith. And he told them that I want you to cast out demons, and I want you to heal the sick. And so they had went out, and they had been working hard doing their missionary work. And once they returned, they made their report to Jesus. How many of you know that at the end of the day, you got to make a report to Jesus Christ? And so they had made their report to Jesus, and Jesus wanted to reward them by giving them a little mini vacation. I call it a little retreat. And the Bible tells us in verse number 31, Jesus says, "Come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while." That's another thing that human need. You're going to need some rest sooner or later. As a matter of fact, one theologian says, if you don't heed Jesus' advice and come apart and rest a while, it won't be long before you start falling apart. If you don't learn how to take a break, it won't be long before you do break. You got to learn how to rest a while. And so Jesus and his disciples, they headed out, they got in the boat, and they was getting ready to go on this missionary journey. And as they was sailing, the Bible said that the people saw them, and they began to run along the riverbank there, and they met Jesus on the other side. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw them, he was moved with compassion, because he saw them as being sheep without a shepherd. Oh, that's another thing that people need. People, they need some shepherding. Oh, I don't care how smart you are, you need a shepherd in your life. I don't care how many letters you have before your name, letters you have after your name. You still need a shepherd in your life. You need somebody to speak life into your life. You need somebody to give you some leadership. You need somebody to lead you, guide you, direct you, and protect you even from the wolves out there. How many of you know we are still living today in wolf country? Yeah. See, there are some wolves out there in sheep's clothing. Oh, and you need some shepherds out there that can beat the wolves off. Lord, have mercy. And so Jesus began, the Bible said, to teach them many things. And then the Bible says that the disciples came to him. In other words, the committee done met. And they came with a recommendation. They said, "Jesus, this is a desert place. It's time that you shut this thing down and send the people away." Now, I'm surprised when I read this text that church folks is telling Jesus to send the folks away. I'm surprised when I look at this text that church folks is making a recommendation to shut church down and send the folks home. Why is the disciples telling Jesus to shut it down and send the folks home? You wouldn't expect not Jesus' 12 disciples to tell them to shut it down and send them home. You may think some folks that's out there that had nothing to do with Jesus, the unbeliever, may be saying, "Shut it down, send the folks home." But you wouldn't expect, oh, y'all with me today, church folks to say, "Shut it down, send them home." Why did they say, "Shut it down, send them home"? Could it be that they was good men, but they was in bad shape? Are you with me today? I say, could it be they was good men, but they was in bad shape? What is I'm talking about when I say bad shape? They was in bad shape physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Could it be that they was suffering from what I call the halt syndrome?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. I done talked about the HALT syndrome before. That's an acronym for H-A-L-T, HALT. You know, in other words, the H stand for hungry, the A stand for angry, the L stand for lonely, and the T stand for tired. Whenever a person is hungry, then you are not in no kind of condition to be making no recommendations. Oh, whenever you are angry, you are not in any psychological and spiritual condition to be making a recommendation. If you are even lonely, you are not in no kind of condition to be dealing with spiritual matters. If you are tired, then you so don't need to be making any kind of spiritual decision. You just need to put the brakes on and hold.
Yeah,
you need to halt things. That's why I'm very careful. That's why I don't really like having business meetings, because a lot of times people, they show up and they are not in the right condition when they show up. They may be good people, but they're in bad shape. A lot of times they show up hungry, they show up angry, they show up lonely and tired. Listen, if you're going to a business meeting and you hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, you just need to excuse yourself at the meeting. You may be a good person, but you're in bad shape. Or could it be that they was concerned, but they didn't have a heart of compassion? There's a difference from being concerned and being compassionate. See, there's a lot of folks in the church that are concerned, but they don't have no compassion. See, you can be concerned about a person that's hungry, but you still don't feed them. You can be concerned about a person that's naked, ain't got no clothes, and they still leave without any clothes. You can be concerned about homeless people, and you just have a discussion about homeless people. You never do anything. There's a difference between being concerned and being compassionate. When you are compassionate, it moves from just being concerned about the person, and it calls you to step out and act on that person's behalf. Not only do you see the need, but it calls you to step out and meet the need. Not only do you hear about the problem, but it calls you to rush and do something about that problem. That's the thing. When you got a compassionate heart, you can not only just see the problem, but you're going to do something about the problem. And see, that's what God is calling us to, ladies and gentlemen. God is not calling us to just see the problem and just hear about a problem and just be concerned about the problem, where we just have a meeting about the problem. God is calling us to solve some problems. Let me tell you something. The reason that you are here on this planet is because there was a problem, and God put you here to be the solution to that problem. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen, it's all about being compassionate. See, they didn't see things like Jesus saw things. And that's the problem in the church. Church folks don't see things like Jesus see things. See, when Jesus saw problems, he saw problems as opportunity to show compassion. When Jesus see a problem, he said, this is a chance to show some compassion. He saw hungry people. He said, this is a chance for y'all to feed these hungry people. You go give them something to eat. In other words, this is a chance to show some compassion. Lord have mercy. Most of the time, we look at the problem and we have a concern and we say, you better hurry up and go home. Because we see the problem as their problem. And don't them bring their problem to us. They need to take their problem home. No, but problems are an opportunity for you to show God's work in and through your life. It's a chance to show compassion. As a matter of fact, I think this is one of the reasons that Jesus had the Holy Spirit to tell the gospel writer to put it in all four gospels. Because if we're going to be a church that's going to have an impact on our world, we got to take advantage of the opportunities to show some compassion. And Jesus began to teach his disciples about compassion. Can I give you three things about showing compassion? Three lessons that we can learn about compassion. Number one, showing compassion will inconvenience you. Stay with me now. I say showing compassion will inconvenience you. Well, where was these disciples going? They was going on a little retreat one day. They was going on a vacation one day. Now, y'all with me today, by the way. Say amen, somebody. But what happened? Their retreat was interrupted. Their vacation was interrupted. What that tells me is that when you start trying to perform acts of compassion, whatever plan you had, you're going to have to put it on hold. Yeah. When you are trying to perform acts of compassion, it often interrupts your plans. You got to rearrange your schedule. Whatever you had planned to do, you got to move that back. The stuff that you had to do right now, you may have to move that back to later on. And stuff that you had later on, you may have to move that forward. And so you got to rearrange some things in order to perform acts of compassion. Are you feeling me today, by the way? See, a lot of times the reason that church folks won't help folks is not that they don't have the power to help folks, but folks don't like to be inconvenient. Oh, I know I'm right. Jesus told a story one day about the Good Samaritan. He told the story about there was a man that had gotten robbed and beat up on the Jericho road. And the Bible says that they left that man half dead on that Jericho road, there in the ditch. And the Bible says it just so happened that a priest came down that way. And the Bible says when he saw him, he moved to the other side. And the Bible says it just so happened that the Levite, he also saw him. And the Bible says he also moved to the other side. Now, you got the preacher and the deacon seeing a beat up man there in the ditch, and both of them moved to the other side. Why did they move away from the man rather than moving to the man? Some Bible scholars said the reason they moved away from the man is because they was in a hurry and they didn't want to be delayed. They had to hurry up and get to the temple. Some of them said that they had to hurry up and get back home. They had already done their work at the temple. Some of them said that the reason that they didn't want to go and help the man, they didn't want to defile themselves, because if they would have defiled themselves, then they could not have done any work there at the temple. But I think it's right there in the text. The Bible says that the reason that the Samaritan, when he saw him, it says he was moved with compassion. It didn't say that about the priest. It didn't say that about the Levite. When they saw him, they had no compassion. See, when you got some compassion, whatever plan you got to change your plan. Whatever plan you got to postpone your plan. Whatever plan you got, it's going to delay your plan. See, that Good Samaritan, he didn't plan on going over there finding a man in the ditch. He didn't plan on putting a man on his donkey. He didn't plan doctoring on that man that day. He didn't plan going to the hotel and paying for that man there at the hotel. No, he didn't do it. But that's what happened when compassion get involved. It interrupts your plans. You got to come up with another plan now. All because of compassion. Oh, so that tells me showing compassion will inconvenience you. But can I move on to number two? Showing compassion will cost you. It will cost you. Showing compassion will cost you. That's how you know you are involved in compassionate work. You can't do compassion, works of compassion, without it costing you something. What did it cost? It cost this little boy his sack lunch, didn't it? Yeah, he had to give his two fish and five loaves of bread in order to feed that hungry multitude. It cost him his sack lunch. But it cost the disciples their time, because Jesus used them as waiters. And so just think how many trips they had to make to feed those people. You think about it. You got 5,000 men, not counting the women's and the children. And in any church service, you're going to have twice as many ladies that you have men. So it could have been 10,000, 20, 30,000 folks that these 12 disciples had to feed. So it cost them their time and energy. When you do works of compassion, it's going to cost you something. Oh, yeah. If you see somebody hungry, it may cost you something. You may got to cost you some food. Yeah, you may have to even go to McDonald's and get a number one down there. It's going to cost you something. Oh, it may cost you a Burger King lunch or something. It may cost you a Subway sandwich from Subway. It may cost you something. It may cost you even some Payless shoes from Payless. It may cost you some groceries there at Kroger or something. All I'm trying to say, it's going to cost you something. But it can't compare with the price that Jesus paid. So whatever you pay to help somebody else, there's nothing compared to the price that Jesus paid when he died for your sin and my sin on Calvary. Cross. Compassion. Showing compassion will inconvenience you. Showing compassion will cost you. But finally, showing compassion will bless you. Yeah, showing compassion will bless you. Have you ever just seen God do some great work? If you really want to see God do some great work in your life and some greater work in your life, step out and try to do acts of compassion. If you want to see a side of God that you ain't never seen before, I dare you to step out and do an act of compassion. If you really want to know how big God is and how big a heart God has, I dare you to step out and show an act of compassion. See, even right here in this story, these disciples, they really didn't want to show no acts of compassion. But don't get the story wrong. See, just because man don't want to act in a compassionate way, don't ever think that God don't want to act in a compassionate way. See, just because man may not want to help out, don't mean that God don't want to help out. Just because man is ready to go home, don't mean that God is ready to go home. Just because man done throwed in the towel and ready to quit, that don't mean that God done throwed in the towel and God is ready to quit. Oh, see, just because man say we can't do it, that don't mean that God can't do it. See, just because man may can't work a miracle, that don't mean that God can't work a miracle. See, God specializes in taking our letter and doing a lot with it. Think about it. He took them two fish, five loaves of bread. They ain't never seen nobody do something like that. And multiplied them where they was able to feed 5,000 men, not even counting the women and children. And every time they ran out, all they had to do is go back and get some more. Because what that tells me, just because man may done ran out, that don't mean that God done ran out. Just because man done went empty, that don't mean that God done went empty. Because God never runs out. God never runs dry. God never runs empty. You can keep going back to him again, again, and again, and again, and again. And as long as you keep coming back to him, he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, so they was blessed. It's a blessing to see God in a greater way. But it's even a greater blessing to be used by God. See, I believe that this is one of the reasons that this miracle is recorded by all four gospel writers, is because this is the one miracle that disciples participated in. See, in all the rest of the miracles, Jesus didn't use the disciples in those miracles. See, he didn't need them when he healed the blind man. He didn't need them when he made the lame man to walk. He didn't need them when he cleansed the leper. He didn't need them when he healed the sick. He didn't need them when he raised the dead. But when he fed the 5,000, that's when Jesus went and got the disciples. Why did he choose to use the disciples in this miracle? Because the disciples needed to be used. Think about what the disciples was doing all day long.
Nothing.
What were they doing all day long?
Nothing.
They were just hanging out doing
nothing.
Waiting on Jesus to shut the Bible study down so they could go home and eat. In other words, they didn't have purpose. When a man don't have purpose in life, he don't have focus in life. Man don't have worth in life until he done found his purpose in life. When you don't know your purpose, life is boring to you. As a matter of fact, you got a zigzag life. You're going over here, you're going over there, going over here, going over there, because you don't know your purpose. You done lost direction in life. You are a lost individual when you don't know purpose. And so they needed a purpose for being. And so Jesus chose, get it right, he chose to use them. Oh, he didn't need them, but he chose to use them. See, Jesus didn't really need them. See, how did Jesus perform this miracle? The Bible says he took the two fish, five loaves of bread, and he offered it up to the Father, and he blessed it. Then he broke it, and he turned, and he gave to the disciples. And the disciples turned, and they gave to the people. Every time they ran out, they went back to Jesus and got some more. And they turned and went on back to the people and feed some more people. They went on back to Jesus and got some more. They turned and went back and fed. Jesus didn't have to keep using those disciples as waiters to feed those people. Jesus, after he blessed the bread and the fish, they could have miraculously just showed up in the people's lap. And every time they had came to eat the last piece of fish, some more fish showed up in their plate. Every time they came to the last one, it's some more fish. Some more bread. Jesus could have miraculously just made it happen in a miraculous way. But he chose to use them in order to bless them. He chose, let me get it right. He chose to use them so that he could bless them. Because, see, after they had finished serving the people, the Bible says there was 12 baskets left over. Now, my question is, who was those baskets of food for? It wasn't for the little boy who gave the lunch. It wasn't for the crowd. They had already ate. Who was it for? Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, let me help you then. How many baskets was that? 12 baskets. How many disciples did Jesus have? In other words, every one of the disciples had a basket of leftovers. Peter, you got a basket. James, you got a basket. John, you got a basket. Andrew, you got a basket. Philip, you got a basket. Bartholomew, you got a basket. Thaddeus, you got a basket. Simon, you got a basket. Judas Iscariot, you even got a basket. See, what that tells me, God will never choose you unless he's going to use you. And if he uses you, that means he's going to bless you. God never choose you and use you without blessing you. See, this is the abundant life, ladies and gentlemen. The abundant life is being chosen by God. How many of you know it's a blessing? I heard somebody say it's a mighty good thing to be chosen by God. It's a blessing to be used by God. And when God uses you, God is going to bless you. That's why he comes in your life. The Bible said the thief come to steal and kill and destroy. But he said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, that's what he want to do in your life. Paul says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond and above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that work in us. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, my challenge to you today is when opportunity presents itself, step out on that opportunity. Take a chance on compassion. You see somebody hungry, step out and take a chance on compassion and feed them. You see somebody needs some clothes, step out today. Take a chance and put some clothes on the back. And watch God work in you. Watch him work through you. And watch him be a blessing to you and to others. He's a mighty God. A chance to show compassion as I come to a close. All this year, we've been concerned about my mother-in-law's health. We've been going back and forth to Mississippi to see about my mother-in-law. For about the last 7-8 years, she had been in the nursing home. And so back here in February, things became very critical. We thought we was going to lose my mother-in-law. So we've been going back and forth home to see about her. But in the process, normally when I go to Mississippi, I normally stay in Brookhaven, and my wife normally go and be with her father there in Law, Mississippi, about 80 miles away. But all this year, I've been staying over there in Law. I hadn't been coming to Brookhaven. And I saw something. I saw that my father-in-law, he needed some help. Because when people are often trying to take care of others, their own health and their own home is no longer a priority. And so I saw my wife. I saw how she was such a wonderful servant and how she was helping her dad, how she was cooking for him and cleaning for him and doing for him. I even saw her, how she would get on her knees and pull his shoes off and massage his feet. And I just saw her doing a lot of even dirty work. And so I decided to jump in there and help. I decided to do whatever I could do. And I started driving my dad-in-law around. I was like driving Miss Daisy wherever he wanted to go. I would just take him. If he wanted to go to the hospital, nursing home, if he wanted to go to the bank, wherever he needed to go, I would just put him in the car and we would just drive around. And I told my wife, I said, listen, I've never seen your father so happy. I said, we need to do even more. We need to do everything we can to make him comfortable. And I'll never forget when we was getting ready to leave back in March. I grabbed his hand and said, Daddy Barnes, I'm getting ready to leave and go back to Texas. He said, I hate to see you go. He said, but I want you to know, out of all the years you done been in the family, we have never spent so much time together these last few months. He said, I want you to know I really, really appreciate it. And he just held my hand and he just felt my hand. And I never thought that would be the last time that I would shake his hand. 2 weeks ago, we funeralized him. What I'm trying to say this morning, church, when opportunity presents itself, step out. Take a chance on compassion. Because you never know when it's going to be our last time to show compassion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. The God who hears and you still answer prayers. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray that we move from concern to compassion. Help us, dear God, to take a chance on compassion. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen.